SCP-4007 Kagemusha. Kagemusha is a Japanese term literally translated to shadow warrior, but more generally it's the term for a political decoy, meaning someone meant to impersonate a politician. These have supposedly been in use for centuries around the world, although by their very nature, of course, we don't have a lot of information on when they were actually used and by whom. SCP-4007 is certainly about shadow warriors, less so about political decoys, as it looks at a group of Japanese super soldiers during World War II. For them, the war never really ended, although war is often mutable in general and can take many forms. Let's take a look. SCP-4007 is the collective designation for five anomalous individuals, informally known as the Pingfang Five, who formed a special operations unit serving under Unit 731 of the Imperial Japanese Army during World War II. We'll get to talking about Unit 731 in a minute, don't worry. All five individuals received multiple anomalous abilities over the course of the war, and while each received different abilities, a number of properties are common to all instances that the Foundation has encountered to date. These include extended longevity, with SCP-4007-4 remaining in excellent physical condition despite chronologically being a centenarian. Enhanced physical abilities, including faster reflexes, improved senses, and increased physical strength. The ability to speak multiple languages, including Japanese, English, Mandarin Chinese, Russian, and German. And intelligence and special forces training. To date, all of the encountered instances have shown an unwillingness to accept the end of the Second World War. Similar to other non-anomalous Japanese holdouts, the instances have maintained that their missions are not yet complete, and thus require them to be in the field, and operating under their original orders. Only 4007-4 has shown any willingness to cooperate with Foundation personnel, though he has refused to acknowledge the end of the war even when showed direct evidence of such. As Rambo said, nothing is over. Prior to Foundation intervention, all of the instances remained active and at large throughout the territory formerly held by the Empire of Japan during the Second World War. At present, 4007-4 and 5 remain alive, though only 5 is considered to be uncontained. The anomaly's origins lie in a collaboration between the Imperial Japanese Anomalous Matters Examination Agency and Unit 731. Utilizing the agency's research into anomalous objects, along with Unit 731's development of Project Shinka, 4007 was created as a combination stealth infiltration and special forces unit capable of working in highly dangerous environments within hostile territory, and completing otherwise extremely difficult objectives of the Imperial Japanese military, both as an entire unit and as individual operatives. Basically, just picture the Japanese versions of Rambo, Jason Bourne, John Wick, James Bond, and a generic Jason Statham character. Over the course of the war, 4007 fought in nearly every major theater of operations that the Japanese engaged in during the war, though it primarily operated in Republican Chinese territory, leading to their informal designation as the Pingfang Five, the location of the Unit 731 headquarters during the Japanese invasion of China. By 1945, 4007 was largely recalled from fieldwork in order to aid in the defense of the Japanese home islands. However, given the different locations in which they have been encountered after the war, it's believed that individual operatives were given a new set of orders in 1945. The reasoning behind this, as well as the contents of said orders, remain unknown. Now let's discuss Unit 731, a real Japanese military research division established in 1935 under the banner of medical research. During the course of the war, it became notorious for its biological warfare testing, as well as its use of human vivisection in experimentation, both of which were performed on forcibly abducted Chinese civilians, captured foreign POWs, political dissidents, and convicted criminals. Yeah, I recommend not reading that Wikipedia page if you're sensitive to the whole human vivisection thing, although they did a hell of a lot more than that. By 1937, it's believed that Unit 731 became aware of the existence of anomalous individuals, leading to the creation of Project Shinka, meaning Apotheosis, the predecessor program that would birth SCP-4007. On March 21st, 1936, Director Shiro Ishii made an internal announcement, reading, "It is now known to me that our mission is not only one of science, but also one of divine enlightenment. Certain individuals have been granted powers uncommon to the main population of this world. By chance of nature, these individuals have attained nearly godlike status over others, and yet, so few of these Maruta that we have detained use them as they should. Science is the vehicle by which man attains mastery over nature. To impose one's will on nature, to showcase the superiority that we know we have been given, and to push the boundaries of what is possible, these are the rites by which science shows us the way. Our work here has proven instrumental to expanding our knowledge and to securing the future of our nation. Logically, to take another's powers and to grant it to our own is the next step in ensuring that our future is always secure, no matter the threat we may face." This seems as good a time as any to mention that Shiro Ishii was granted immunity for his war crimes by the United States government in exchange for his information and research for the U.S. Biological Warfare Program. Project Shinka would see a massive surge in abductions, as the Japanese secret military police began targeting anomalous individuals in Japanese-held territory and abducting them for research. Thousands of test subjects were subjected to vivisection procedures consisting of live removal of anomalous organs and body parts in order to see if said parts would function outside of the original host. Additionally, forced breeding programs in an attempt to create more live test subjects also became common, as anomalous individuals in the civilian population became scarce. It's believed that this mass anomalous genocide directly led to the uncommonly low occurrence rate of anomalous East Asian individuals in the Foundation's database. The next phase of Project Shinka began in 1937, as Unit 731 and the Anomalous Matters Examination Agency began grafting anomalous organs and body parts onto military volunteers in order to give them anomalous abilities, in the belief that these individuals would become better soldiers. Due to limited technology, as well as limited knowledge of organ transplant rejection, the majority of the volunteers died due to post-transplant complications. Additionally, of the surviving volunteers, the vast majority did not have anomalous capabilities transferred to them, or did not have any control over their grafted anomalous abilities. However, by virtue of chance, at least five individuals did survive the procedures intact, and with at least some control over their anomalous properties. They would go on to form SCP-4007. Individual instances of 4007 have demonstrated a wide range of anomalous properties, which were intended to allow them to work together as a team more effectively. We're then given information on each of the five individuals, including Foundation interactions, biographical information, and operational history. The first is First Lieutenant Mitsuo Kitano, codename Inazuma, meaning Lightning Bolt. He was the nominal commander of the unit, possessing the anomalous ability to generate lightning, although he was not immune to the effects of it post-generation. He was deployed extensively in the Burmese theater during the war, where he was utilized to burn down large segments of jungle in an effort to reduce cover and drive out Burmese and British Indian Army soldiers. As ranking leader of the group, he also took part in numerous joint operations in Japanese-occupied China. Following the war, he was identified by Foundation assets as having returned to eastern Burma, where he was holding out. In 1946, he was identified by Republican Chinese soldiers stationed in the area, who mistook him for a communist Chinese guerrilla. I know this is the SCP universe, but I mean a member of an irregular fighting force, not the primate. He began attacking Republican Chinese forces at this time, systematically striking at numerous Chinese army camps and installations. At least 500 casualties are recorded in this time span, not including civilian residents of the region. The Foundation managed to eventually track him down and attempted to apprehend him, but he burned down a large segment of the Burmese jungle during his escape, killing one Foundation agent and four civilians. An MTF is officially established and tasked with capturing him, and they soon conducted Operation Smokehouse, entrapping him within an enclosed section of jungle. He attempted to burn his way out, but became trapped inside the zone. When the fire had burned out, his body was found within the zone, and it's believed to have expired due to smoke inhalation. The incident was ruled an acceptable outcome. 4007-2 is Private Takashi Honda, codename Oni, meaning ogre, who possessed anomalously resistant skin, allowing him to withstand forces exceeding that of small arms fire without harm. He was deployed as a supplement to Japanese special operations units, frequently serving in a frontline role as shock infantry, as well as providing supporting fire when needed. He saw significant action in the Philippines during the war. By 1949, he's believed to be holding out in the Philippines, eventually being identified by soldiers there who mistook him for a member of the communist insurgency. During an engagement, he killed five of them and caused an additional 17 casualties before escaping. He would have sparse engagements with Philippine army units over the next couple of years, with an estimated 40 casualties reported during this time, although conflicting reports of him and insurgents make it difficult to establish the source of these casualties. In 1951, MTF 551 tracks him down and attempts to contain him, although he kills half of the pursuing task force and escapes containment once more. These guys really need some better plans. He then goes dark for the next 6 years, with no engagements or sightings being reported, until he abruptly resurfaces on a minor island of the Philippines. MTF 551 immediately launches a new operation to contain him, designated Operation Homewrecker, during which Oni inflicts heavy casualties onto the MTF, forcing it to disengage and call in an airstrike. In the aftermath, he was found dead on the island, though cause of death was ruled to be a lethal shock of electricity. The incident was ruled an acceptable outcome. Well, if nothing else, at least they know how to come up with cool names for their plans. 4007-3 is Corporal Joichiro Ida, codename Kitsune, meaning fox, who possessed a compulsive cognitohazard effect that compelled the listeners to believe any statement that he spoke. Subjects with sufficiently high psychic resistance scores could resist the effects of this compulsion. He was deployed in numerous stealth operations in Japanese-held territory throughout Southeast China, often being used to discover and secretly infiltrate resistance cells before reporting them to the military police. Additionally, he was also tasked with gathering intelligence in Republican Chinese-held territory. By 1947, he was believed to have affiliated himself with numerous communist Chinese rebel groups throughout Southeast China during this time, and actively aided them in their campaign against Republican Chinese forces. The reasoning behind this is unknown, as communist Chinese forces had been directly at war with Japan as well. He's discovered by the Foundation when he attempts to utilize his cognitohazard on an embedded Foundation agent within the 6th Army Group of the Republic of China. He manages to escape the agent and disappears for the next 9 years. During this period, his activities are unknown, though scattered intelligence suggests that he remained active in hunting down hidden Republican Chinese operatives embedded within the mainland following the Chinese Civil War. In 1958, however, he resurfaced under an assumed name in southern China, and MTF 551 is deployed to capture him. I think we know how this one is going to go. During Operation Fox Hunt, he was discovered dead of strangulation in his home upon arrival by the MTF, with an examination of his home revealing several recently spent shell casings and compacted bullets, indicating that he had fired a gun at an unknown target. Further investigation revealed no clues, and the incident was ruled an acceptable outcome. 4007-4 is Private Shigeru Matsui, codenamed Kamuri, meaning smoke, who possesses the anomalous ability to become invisible. This extends to any other objects or materials that are on his person, or that he considers to be part of himself. He saw extensive service with the paratrooper corps in a stealth infiltration role during the war, before which he also received additional training as a field surgeon. Due to the rapid retreat of the Japanese military from its extended holdings, he was stranded in Malaysia, where he continued to reside following the war until Foundation contact. He was discovered by Foundation personnel after continuing reports of Japanese holdouts in Malaysia, leading MTF-551 to make contact with him in 1950. Unlike most other instances encountered, he has expressed willingness to cooperate with Foundation personnel working to contain other instances. Following negotiations, an agreement was reached where he was permitted limited freedoms in return for information concerning SCP-4007 and assistance rendered in capturing more instances. Specifically, he was permitted to continue living within his home in Malaysia under Foundation monitoring, as well as the freedom to conduct limited operations when necessary, and after prior approval. Information from Matsui has provided the vast majority of all known intelligence concerning SCP-4007, as nearly all documents about the unit were destroyed following the end of the war, thanks to fear of backlash from the Allied powers over the controversial and often highly illegal actions that the unit took during the course of its operational history, as well as the nature of Project Shinka. We're provided an interview between Matsui and a Foundation researcher, Dr. Su, conducted at Matsui's residence, a self-constructed hut in the jungle. Dr. Su asks him about his role during the war, to which he states that he serves at the Emperor's pleasure, his allegiance is sworn to the Empire of Japan, and his ultimate responsibility is to defend her people from all threats. Ostensibly, they served much as many other soldiers fighting in Japan's defense might have, receiving orders from the military and carrying them out. They had many missions and many objectives, but not all of them were solely for the conventional military. His directives frequently did not align with that of the rest of the army. He asks her why she thinks that he received this divine gift, to which she says, for the war, presumably. He replies by asking, which war? When a nation goes to war, its people must use all that they have to defend themselves, and they were no exception. When a truly terrible war must be fought, then the people must use truly terrible weapons, even if it is themselves who must become the ammunition. Sometimes those weapons alone may not be enough. She asks what he means, but he tells her that he cannot say, but his former brothers in arms must be put down before it is too late, for all of them. Later, Dr. Su asks him why he ended up here during the war, to which he says that it wouldn't have been his choice, but he had orders to return here, so he did. He will not divulge classified military intelligence, however, as his loyalty is unquestionable. Dr. Su instead asks why he thinks that they ordered him here of all places, as Malaysia was a lost cause at that point. With Americans pressing in on all fronts, there had to have been more important objectives. Matsui replies that there were developments late in the war that changed their perspective. Things that were more pressing than their war efforts, things more pressing than the Americans or the Chinese. During the war, some things got out of hand, the anomalous weapons became too much to handle, and it came to a head. There were mistakes made, but he cannot say much more. The loss of the 5th Southern Expeditionary Fleet was perhaps what forced their hand, as after that, it became increasingly clear that their mission and victory over the West could not both be achieved, because he and his brothers could not do both at once. Then the Emperor was forced to make a difficult decision. between his nation or his people. And so here he is, until he is sure that their mission is complete, that all they have done is not for nothing. He will uphold this final order until the day that he goes to his grave. To pursue that end, there is nothing that he would not do. That just leaves 4007-5, Private Teruo Nishimura, codename Bakemono, meaning shapeshifter. He possesses the ability to alter his physical appearance at will, and the limits of this ability are not currently known due to limited Foundation interaction with him. His status is currently unknown, and most information surrounding him is unreliable, primarily due to his ability. Testimony from Matsui and other sources suggest that he rarely operated with the other members of the unit, and scattered reports indicate that he was deployed in a far wider range of locations than the rest of the unit, though verified sightings were exceedingly rare during the war itself. The Foundation has had no direct contact with him, and there have only been a few leads as to where he may be found. MTF-551 has been tasked with monitoring reports of remaining Japanese holdouts from the war and investigating them for possible connections. The remainder of the document is locked behind Level 4 clearance, and it states that in 2003, the head archivist for 4007 submitted a report to the attention of the O5 Council. During scheduled archival of an old storage facility containing World War II-era Foundation documents, his team stumbled upon the old 4007 document, written while they still used paper records for containment procedures. There is one troubling section, detailing SCP-4007 as Shigeru Matsui, who is still at large. The description matches their description for 4007-4, but the discovery date is well over a year before their first recorded interaction with one of the unit, which was 4007-1. Moreover, the document suggests that 4007-4 was the only known instance at the time, which doesn't match the order in which they have them cataloged at present. Investigations were launched into potential reasons behind the discrepancy, with none of the MTF able to offer any reason for the apparent loss of knowledge concerning the anomaly in between March of 1945 and June of 1946. During the course of discussion, O53 raised the following point. Obviously, there must be some kind of tampering going on, because this kind of information does not simply disappear. While we've been discussing this, though, I can't help but wonder at two other discrepancies that seem awfully hard to dismiss as coincidence in light of recent developments. First, there seems to be a peculiar recurring theme in SCP-4007 containment efforts, and how often they end in a terminated anomaly. Since when did we turn into the GOC? This many failed missions would be unacceptable under any other circumstance, but it seems as though it's been relegated to the status of a clerical error here. Second, on the subject of this report, we've spent several days discussing how exactly this report fits into the big picture. How did this information get tampered with? Does it affect our continuing containment of the anomaly? How do we confront 4007-4 about this? And so on and so forth. Excellent questions all, and no doubt we should be concerned about our primary source of intelligence on an anomaly being compromised. That said, though, does it not concern anyone else how helpful SCP-4007-4 is? And does anyone remember how our present arrangement with SCP-4007-4 began? At the request of O53, a researcher was appointed as a special investigator for 4007 and submitted a report to the O5 Council. They haven't managed to turn up much about 4007-4, but the pattern of missing knowledge is consistent with some kind of cognitohazard. They're conducting a lot more research into what exactly could be happening, but there's another development. He pieced together a map of where they've encountered 4007 instances to date, and took the liberty of making a slight edit. It's a map of Southeast Asia, and if the points where they've encountered the members of the unit are connected, it shows a pentagon, with the final point being in northern Malaysia. The researcher is certain that if 4007-5 is still out there, he's undoubtedly at that last point. What alarms him, however, is the ritualistic significance of the shape. Pentagons, or more specifically, pentagrams, are popular shapes for channeling thaumaturgical energy. One especially common use for them is invoking containment rituals that seal something inside of them. It's a powerful arrangement, but it needs active maintenance by the pillars at each corner. This begs the awful question of what they possibly could have been trying to contain. I'm hoping for Godzilla, but I guess we'll see. Following this report, MTF-551 was deployed to the region where 4007-5 was predicted to be located, with orders to investigate and make contact with the anomaly if possible. After 3 weeks of investigation, containment specialist Shin had an encounter with an individual believed to be Nishimura. During debriefing, he's asked how the individual made contact with him. It was a few weeks after they had arrived in the area, and they were making attempts to infiltrate the population and passively listen for any potential signs that someone had information concerning 4007-5. One day, while he was out in a local village, a man came up to him. He simply walked up and struck up a conversation very casually about the war. It seemed like he was getting more agitated as the conversation went on, like Shin wasn't saying what he wanted him to. By this point, Shin was getting a little suspicious, but he didn't want to clue him off, so he tried to milk the conversation as best as he could, see if he could get anything else out of him. That's when he fled, after Shin tried alluding to what Matsui had mentioned about the need for weapons. That line made his face turn pale, and he ran off quickly, muttering something to Shin before he left. He said, "He's made you forget me again, hasn't he?" They lost sight of the man, and he slipped away. They spent hours combing the place, but never found a trace of him, nor had anyone seen anyone matching the description. That night, though, when he went to bed, he found a note in his room. It read, "Do not remember me. Do not trust the traitor's words. And most importantly, do not forget what he has stolen in his misguided attempt to fulfill our mission." The special investigator writes in his testimony that, "It's subtle, it's effective, and God damn it, because it's brilliant. We've been duped this whole time. We thought that Unit 731 was a bunch of butchers, more or less conducting anomalous meatball surgery in an effort to see what sticks, without any subtlety in approach at all. From that basic perspective, it was easy to underestimate each SCP-4007 instance as a one-trick pony anomaly. But the data we've collected suggests that Unit 731 may have been far better at grafting anomalies than we previously thought. SCP-4007-4's primary ability is much more subtle than simply vanishing from sight. We assumed that he was simply becoming invisible through some unknown method, and hand-waved it as anomalous mumbo-jumbo. But we know how it works now. He's not actually becoming invisible, and it's not an optical anomaly. It's an amnestic one. SCP-4007-4 does not become invisible, strictly speaking. Rather, it becomes invisible to the mind. By utilizing a very, very subtle anti-meme, he manages to erase his image from a viewer's brain while not tampering with the memory of the anomaly's existence in and of itself. Additionally, we think that he can tweak this cognitohazardous effect, sometimes strengthening it and other times lessening it, making his effect extremely selective, acting like a surgeon's scalpel, and excising only the exact portions necessary, while leaving others intact. Effectively, he can make a viewer forget exactly what he wants the subject to forget. Nothing more, nothing less. It's brilliant, because your garden variety cognitohazard is so blatant that we would have recognized it nearly immediately, The only reason we noticed at all is that we noticed IR heat camera recordings of him still register his presence when viewed later. Nothing on tape that we have is being affected by him. In other words, while he can affect our memories, he cannot affect any existing records of his existence, such as recordings, ledgers, or, as you might have surmised by this point, outdated containment procedures. The data we have is, to put it lightly, alarming. According to our analysis, all members of MTF-551, along with 60% of research staff assigned to SCP-4007, have been subjected to 4007-4's amnestic effect. All of those not affected have either never directly interacted with the anomaly, or haven't worked long enough to actually have come into contact with it. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that a lot of us have had our memories wiped at different points, or otherwise tinkered with to the point that we could be misremembering large swaths of our history with SCP-4007. The worst thing is, we have no idea what any of this could mean. What exactly is his endgame? What has he done that we don't know about? What have we done that we don't know about? There are a lot of questions, and I'm not sure where to begin in order to answer them. However, we should probably start with the big one. What else have we forgotten about SCP-4007? After noting the arrangement of 4007 instances in a pentagon shape, the researcher recommended an expedition be taken to the center of the pentagon in order to investigate the potential purpose of such an arrangement of 4007 instances. The SCPF Peregrino was launched on a mission to the region off the shore of Vietnam, launching several diver teams to search the region. Dive Team 5 made the first discovery when it found the wreckage site of several World War II era ships. The team sees scraps of metal and twisted ruins of several ship hulls littered throughout the seafloor. One diver holds up a piece of metal, brushing off a layer of sand to show the word Umagiri on it, alongside the flag of the Imperial Japanese Navy. The dive leader points to several different visible ship hulls, naming them as he goes, all of which were planned additions to the Yugamo-class destroyer line of the Japanese Navy that were allegedly scrapped prior to production. He swims down to the seafloor, sifting through the sand before pulling out a skull. As the sand clears, dozens more can be seen buried in the sand, showing the entire seafloor to be covered in bones, most of them still wearing scraps of Imperial Japanese military uniforms. He reports that it's not just sailors, but army soldiers and even pilots too. By their estimate, there have to be thousands of them, and as far as he knows, none of these wrecks were claimed by Allied navies. The most alarming thing of all, however, is that these ships weren't bombed or shelled or scuttled. None of those things would cause this pattern of metal damage, and they don't see any signs of blackening from explosive ordnance. Whatever it was that sunk these ships, it wasn't conventional. Something sank an entire Japanese naval squadron, and he's not sure that they've ever seen anything like it before. Sure seems like Godzilla. 3 weeks later, the special investigator submitted another research note, which reads, "I know that I advanced the theory of the Pentagon being a giant containment ritual, but I almost wish that weren't the case. After consultation with thaumaturgical and other esoteric containment specialists, the consensus is that if SCP-4007 was indeed maintaining some kind of thaumaturgical ritual, the size of this particular arrangement tells us two important things. First, whatever they were trying to contain must have been absolutely enormous. Strictly speaking, you don't make thaumaturgical diagrams any bigger than they have to be, because the power needed to maintain them scales proportionally. Which brings me to my second point. This ritual would have been a monstrous cost in terms of energy to maintain. In fact, with something this large, you'd probably need to do a regenerative ritual at one of the corners every day just to keep the whole thing together. All five would be preferable, but just one would be sufficient for the bare minimum. Without it, this whole structure would collapse within a day, releasing whatever's inside out to our material plane. What alarms me, though, is that this ritual structure is presumably half a century old. Not many rituals of this specific type can survive that long, even with constant regenerative rituals. After a certain point, they're simply too worn down to keep going for that long, and the ritual will fail regardless of what you do. Because of that, it's smart to be prepared to confront whatever you have within the zone. And Lord help us, because we better be prepared for that day. In 2008, the head archivist for 4007 submitted a notice to the attention of the investigative team. In it, he states that in their continuing efforts to uncover additional information concerning 4007, they have recovered two documents of interest. The first is another set of outdated documentation for 4007, but it's of a more recent vintage. Curiously, the only major differences they can attribute to anomalous interference relate to the personnel information for 1 through 3. It seems as though a single line has been removed from each of the entries of the instances that were terminated. For 4007-1, it states that his body had been cut open shortly post-mortem and was missing several organs. For 2, large sections of his skin had been apparently removed, which could not be explained by the recovery. For 3, an autopsy revealed that he was missing his tongue, for reasons that remain unknown. Why these lines were deleted is a mystery, but the natural hunch is that Matsui was involved somehow. They believe that the other document they recovered might yield some answers, though. It's a little different, with the archival notice attached to it saying that it was a letter discovered in 4007-3's home, believed to be written by Matsui. Without knowing the context behind it, it's hard to say what exactly it means. It reads, "Brother, forgive me for not writing to you sooner. After Takashi's passing, I needed time alone to meditate and regain my strength. In the end, he did not see my way, much like Mitsuo before him. But it is not too late for you to see the truth, brother. He will break free. That much I am certain of. No matter what we do, his coming is inevitable, and no amount of prayer or ritual will stop him from finishing his terrible mission. To continue in our ways as we have for so long is giving in to fate. Thus, it is as your brother in arms that I write to you to reconsider your stance. We must fight him on our own terms. The longer we wait, the stronger he gets, until this sleeping giant is all but unstoppable. It is our duty, as dutiful men and as loyal soldiers, to act while we still can. If we attack as soon as the ritual is broken, we have our best chance at stopping him once and for all. There is no other alternative. It was too late for Mitsuo and Takashi to realize the truth while they lived, but I have hope for you. To fight once again with my brothers in arms is what I long for, but do not mistake this dream for mercy. I will stop him with your help, one way or another. It is up to you to decide how that help will be given." The last thing we're provided is a note penned by 053 following the conclusion of the internal investigation into SCP-4007. It lists some updated containment procedures, with the primary containment being maintenance of the status quo. 4007-4 is to be convinced that the Foundation is actively aiding it in searching for 4007-5 when this is no longer true. All members of MTF-551 are to continue operating under the impression that their agreement with him is still true, in order to avoid triggering his primary anomalous threat. All additional efforts shall be dedicated to further research into 4007's original purpose, as well as replacement of 4007 instances. Failing that, all funding will be directed towards preparation for the release of the entity contained within 4007's containment zone. 053 began this investigation seeking to find the truth about 4007, hoping to figure out a clever answer that would tie up all the loose ends and resolve a mystery that seemed to stretch back decades. The pursuit of the truth is ostensibly what they strive for at all times, but he now understands that if there's anything they truly know, it is that there are some truths out there that are inherently unknowable. Even if they were, they may be so terrible that they may not want to know them at all. What exactly was SCP-4007 formed for? What sank the Japanese Navy fleet? What's inside the pentagram? He suspects that these questions may not have answers, for those that may have known the truth are either unwilling to tell them, dead, or have been forced to forget. In the end, they can only move forward with the scraps that their predecessors left them, and hope they make the right choice. Alright, so the Japanese military and Unit 731 made a group of anomalous super soldiers during World War II, ostensibly with the goal of winning the war. As it turns out, though, their actual goal may have been to help contain some sort of horrible extra-dimensional threat in Southeast Asia. The Foundation doesn't really know any more, as a lot of time has gone by since World War II, a lot of records have been lost or destroyed, and SCP-4007-4 has helped to obfuscate things to continue his mission. They thought initially that his ability was to go invisible, but he actually possesses an extreme degree of control over an anti-mimetic cognitohazard. This allows him to manipulate people's memories and perceptions to the exact degree he chooses, forcing them to forget precisely what he wants them to forget. This doesn't apply to records, however, which is how the Foundation discovered this ability. He was essentially manipulating the Foundation to overlook details about the deaths of the others and to deem their deaths as acceptable. It's clear now that Four was the one that murdered the other three, and likely would murder the fifth if he knew how to find him. That's also why they were missing organs, as Four was taking them and grafting them onto himself to gain their abilities. Five referred to Four as a traitor, and said to not forget what he has stolen in his misguided attempt to fulfill their mission. It seems that the others wish to maintain the containment of the extra-dimensional entity for as long as they can, while Four insisted that they will eventually fail and it will escape, so they should fight it while they still can. Since they did not see it this way, he killed them and took their abilities. I doubt Four is capable enough of dealing with whatever it is on his own, but they also have the only real knowledge of how to keep it contained, so the Foundation is at a bit of a loss. It is a little concerning, I suppose, to take the real-world atrocities committed by Unit 731 and make an article suggesting that part of what they did was in the service of containing some horrible monster that would destroy humanity. In the real world, the US believed that there was some value in Unit 731's research, enough to offer the higher-ups immunity for their war crimes, although the actual value of that research has been highly nebulous. There will be some, of course, that take umbrage with this article for making a form of entertainment out of such brutal history. But at the same time, history has to be remembered to be valuable. Maybe there wasn't a group of Power Rangers containing Godzilla during World War II, but the war, its horrors, and its ramifications are all very real.